Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August the 26th, 274th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Fortuna City Manager. Kind of look like you're on vacation, guy.
Well, I'm on the radio, so,
well, I understand.
Know.
It's the whole Fortuna casual thing.
Well, nice to see you today, Brian.
Yes. We got a bunch of things to talk about, as there have been some successful grant programs.
Yeah, we're pretty happy in Fortuna of late and got some new money that we were hoping would come in, and it did.
Good. So we'll find out how they're going to invest it when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, let's see if we can find one here that's Abraham Lincoln. Ha! General Douglas MacArthur.
Okay.
Not one of your biggies, huh?
Not sure I know any quotes from him, but let's go.
Well, this one makes sense. Never give an order that can't be obeyed.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and timely too, perhaps, sir. When you start looking as an administrator at the huge, I guess it would, I've been told that there's a lot, so let's say a catalog of options for grants. How do you know which ones you want, which ones you don't want, which ones make sense, which ones don't, which ones you're be able to sell to the council, which ones you wouldn't, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, how long it take before the grants are funded, and does that hit your timeline? All those types of things. How do you figure out which ones kind of sort of might fit and which ones, even if you got them, you wouldn't want them?
Yeah, I hear you asking a strategy question, and you're right. There's a lot of things out there, and there's a lot of different things that cities could try to utilize or that might make sense for us. But from our perspective in Fortuna, we actually do have a big listing of projects and objectives and things that we want to accomplish as a city. And so we've utilized that list, and you know, we have a council buy-in for what those things are on that list because they've provided a number of them to us. And so we will go out specifically for grants that are going to meet those needs and try and help us accomplish a project that that makes sense in our community. And I think one of the things that we found and that we've been really focusing on over the last year is, hey, let's try and build out that project and get it to where we know what we want and what we need, and then go after those grants at that point. And I think we've had a little bit more success because we've been able to, you know, bring that project a little farther along. It's not so much of a pie in the sky. It's a, well, hey, here's the property that we have that we want to do. Here's the type of construction we want to do, and here's the need that we're going to meet with this project. And that really helps to bolster your application for any grant.
Will you adapt or adjust a project to fit the qualifications for a grant?
Sometimes, and sometimes that makes sense. One of our biggest grants that we have right now that we're actually almost about 90% through engineering and design, and we're hoping to go to construction in the spring, is a big grant that has a specific need, and we're doing basically flood reduction and saving some insurance for people and hopefully preserving some downtown areas of the city and Fortuna Boulevard from potential flooding in the future. But this grant came also with some seismic requirements to improve some bridges and things like that, that had a different type of need. It's not necessarily the flood, but it's the seismic. And so, yeah, we had to adjust that project a little bit to make sure we incorporated some of that to meet those grant guidelines. And it made sense with our project because we do have bridges that go across the creek. But, yeah, sometimes you have to, you know, reshape a little bit.
When you do that, does it often change the dollar amount of the project size, or is it more of a reallocation within those funds that now, as an example, you're going to have to throw some bucks to the structural elements of a bridge? Okay, fine. Yeah, we wanted to anyway, but we were hoping to do that in phase two rather than phase one. Okay, no big deal. We can do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, there's different grant requirements that you're definitely going to meet, and you're going to make sure that your budget and your project is going to meet all of those. And then if there's some others outside, for instance, I like how you use the word phasing, because we actually do have a phase three and four for our project, the Roner Creek flood reduction, seismic, and habitat rehabilitation grant that we have. So there's
okay,
a God, few
you
things,
know the name?
There's
That's
a few
the name
things,
of this thing?
There's a few things that we're trying to do with this big project. It's a huge project for the city. And then in the future phases, we're trying to do, we've got some other grants coming in to help accomplish some of those other tasks. Like
so you can combine grants?
Yes. So we're trying to get these fish habitat grants so that we can build some better, fish passage is really the issue with those. We're also trying to improve another creek that's coming into the Roner Creek project that we're doing. So that'll be another part of a phase three, phase four of this project. And so we're trying to bring all of those things together to help really strengthen and bolster the original project. It'll get us, a much greater success rate. We're going to eliminate, basically say 90% of the flooding, with this project. And if we can accomplish these other phase three and phase four projects, we're going to probably accomplish 100% of the flooding in all of that whole section of town, even all the way over to the Eel River. So that's a really, really positive thing.
So what happens if you're looking at one of these grants or these series of grants, and let's say you get 5 of 7,
mm-hmm.
seven phase. Do you go forward? Does it matter which two phases were not funded?
I hear what you're saying, but in our case, we have a specific grant, and we're supposed to meet the requirements of that grant. And by having phase one and phase two done, which is funded, we're going to meet those requirements of that grant, and we're happy, and everybody's happy. And if we're able to get phase three and four accomplished locally or with some other grant source to get those done, that's the icing on the cake. That makes everybody even more happy and makes the project even more successful. And so then there's other projects that we might be pursuing for other parts of town, though, that might be a little bit more of a focus, because we want those to happen as well, because we're going to accomplish the Roner Creek, project and be happy with that and, move forward.
More happy is always good.
Yes.
I found that to be the case.
Everybody likes happy.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria out of Fortuna. Regan, is there a significant difference between grants from the state or from Fed or from private entities? And the one that we were talking about sounds really cool, but then at the end you said state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good, bad, or indifferent. But I would imagine that their grants have different requirements, but in general terms, are the feds easier to work with or more difficult to work with than the state is?
I think it probably gets increasingly difficult the higher up you go in the levels of government. They're all, like we were talking about earlier, happy is happy, and we're not going to look any gift horse in the mouth. If it comes with, requirements for reporting annually or reporting quarterly, we'll do it. We want to have that money in play in our city and be putting it to work. If it requires you go up a level, maybe in the federal government, now you've got an additional environmental review to do and other resources to identify that you're either assisting or not hurting, you know, other steps, fine. You know, there's more to it. It makes it a little more difficult, a little more cumbersome. But again, we're not going to say no to that money.
Is it tough to meld the two together on this on a similar project? On the same project, even?
You know, in history, yes, but I'm gonna give them a lot of credit right now that they are actually working together, a lot of these bigger agencies, you know, whether it's a state proposition that has provided funding for certain uses, working with other state departments, or even, you know, we might be working with the USDA for a portion of a project. We might be working with FEMA on another portion, you know, and then there's other projects that are combining state, you know, block grant, and then also the FDA programs. They really do work together. We actually, I'm not really talking out of turn because we just went to a training last week. Myself and our new city engineer went over to Reading for a funding fair, and we had representatives from four different funding agencies there all on the same day, all willing to work together, trying to identify, here's the project you're trying to do. We can or can't help you, but, you know, we know how to work with the other agency that's over at that other table. You know, here's how you get through their application process and go talk to them. So that was really nice.
M&Ms. They always help to get guys to work together, M&Ms.
Yeah. So I appreciate that, chocolate. But
if that's work, now we have an extraordinary situation like what happened in Napa on Sunday morning. Okay, does that drop the barriers and allow everybody to work a little bit easier and a little bit more cohesively, or does that change things and everybody's got their area and by golly, you're going to have to play by their rules if you want that one, and it kind of tightens things up?
I really don't have experience with that, Brian, and I feel fortunate that I haven't had to. You know, I've dealt with a minor emergency situation in a city before, and, you know, it was a bit of a process in itself. You know, we had to have a local emergency declared by our city council before we can get into the game with the state. And then they had to determine the emergency situation, you know, along with us, basically. And then you would have the opportunity to work with FEMA if you didn't have those designations met.
And opportunities in quotes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So for reimbursement, I mean, you put out a lot of effort to deal with a local situation financially that you didn't budget for. So if you have some flooding or you have some other type of a, you know, issue, you still have to follow the process.
Now, will FEMA and folks like that tend to be at the back end of a situation help out, like with the grant that you were talking about with Roner Creek, to be able to work on the front side to help to avoid?
They do. I don't know. You're not really leading me, but you certainly are asking the perfect question. That's one of the other
Occasionally
grants.
Occasionally, I get a home run here, man.
You totally did. We in Fortuna, we actually have what's called a pre-disaster mitigation grant from FEMA. It's a cooperative effort between FEMA and the state of California through CalEMA. And we have about $890,000, a total of $890,000 project. The city is funding our local match portion of that as well, to protect our treatment plant from flooding situations and protect the river from the treatment plant, basically. It kind of goes both ways. And it's a pre-disaster grant. And they want to know, it's another governmental agency, the county. We have a local hazard mitigation program that we cooperate with the other cities in the county, and this was identified as one of the potential things that you know, could be improved or hopefully avoided if we make these improvements. And FEMA and Cal EMA did come through and said, yeah, we want to see that happen before there's an issue.
So there must be rankings of types of projects that these guys are looking to fund in an avoidance mode. Water treatment is one of those high on the list?
Yes, in our case it definitely was. So I'm really happy about that because that's a major aspect of community services, is being able to provide the water and then being able to treat the water going back out the other direction. So having that and having that extra support for our plant is really big for us.
Yeah, I can appreciate New Orleans and a whole bunch of the Gulf cities.
Yeah.
Probably feel the same way also if it's possible. Mm-hmm. So is that unique to be able to get one of those grants? Because I would think it would be highly competitive.
Yes, I think it is pretty unique. I'm pretty fortunate that Fortuna has had success. We have some great relationships with those granting agencies, and we have some great relationships with some of our consulting partners that do a great job at writing grants and helping us to achieve the success that we've had with grants. So yeah, it's pretty unique that Fortuna has this pre-disaster mitigation grant. Like I said, we're going to be building that next year, so we're looking forward to that.
So was this a one champagne bottle celebration or a case when this one came down?
I'd say a case. We're almost at $1 million with that grant.
Yeah.
Not on city time, though.
No, never. or property.
Right.
No,
right.
No. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Regan, this concept of grants is something that I know some people kind of have a less than positive taste in their mouth about, because there's a school of thought that says, well, that's nice. Had to put up 20%. Okay, and let's just for round figure say $200,000 to get an $800,000 matching grant for a $1,000 project. But it's something we wouldn't have done anyway, would not have done. So we have now taken $200,000 away from things we would have normally have done. And yeah, it's a nice project, but it wasn't a high priority project. Mm-hmm. And then the other side says, yeah, but we got a 4-to-1 leverage on this thing. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Mm-hmm. And back and forth. That kind of seemed like it was in the 80s and the 90s, though. When you look at the grant types and what you're looking to accomplish, do you look at the project first, or do you look at the grant multiplier first and then try to figure out which square hole this round peg might have to get into?
Yeah, in our case in Fortuna, I think it's more project oriented. It's a need oriented. Like I mentioned earlier, we've got this list of 60 objectives that the city's trying to accomplish, and a lot of them are to meet either deferred maintenance or just regular maintenance that needs to get done, or some new permitting requirement that we're going to have to be compliant with through the state of California or some other enforcement agency. So generally when we're seeking grants, like I said, we have a project of something that we know we need to accomplish or we need to try and do on behalf of the city and our community, and that's where we will place our money. There might be some other smaller grants.
Let's say it was number 43.
Okay, yeah. See,
on
something
your list.
Like
so
that,
a medium minor.
Yeah, that one you might not want to spend
surface?
A lot of your staff time on in preparing the grant or developing that project out from a engineering or planning perspective, because maybe you want to focus on those top 10 that are in your city.
And there's a reason why they're in the top 10.
Right. Yeah. There's community need, there's dollars involved, there's council support. So there's a lot of reasons to focus on the top projects.
When we hear about tax dollars, most folks say fire, cops, roads. Other. Kind of in that order. Are grants set up similarly where you've got public safety and then you've got basic infrastructure, and then other? Do they kind of cluster that way?
I don't think so. To me, there's a ton of different grant sources out there. And there's those, like I'll go back to the Prop 1E for our Roner Creek project. There's money out there through the state of California and through the voters, through voter initiatives that say, hey, we want to have clean water. And so there's funds available for that. So you need to identify which projects you have in your city that meet those guidelines. And that's the money you go after. Our police department might be chasing another resource, maybe through the Department of Justice or other people that's their focus area. That's why they have money. And so there's a lot of different things out there, and it really depends on what project you have and which funding sources make sense for that project.
So when you have project, let's say, 1 through 5, mm-hmm. Most times there are grant dollars that are available that you can match up either for the whole project or elements of those projects?
Yeah, again, for instance, last week when we went to the funding fair in Reading to see, you know, there's a lot of different organizations there that had different pools of money for different types of uses. And we went there with our list of, you know, the 60 projects that we have, of course, boiled down to our top four or five that we know we want to try and get out onto the streets in the next year or two. And those groups were able to share with us what made sense for those types of projects that we wanted to do. And then again, there was one that's on our list that's maybe not the top priority. It's more of an open space community benefit type of project. And we got a referral. We said, hey, yeah, that sounds like a great project, but here's the group. And they actually today had a funding presentation that we sent one of our staff to go get on the list and share our project there. So again, they're working together. They want to see projects happen. They want to see the money that the community or the state have put together to meet a need, get in play, and get utilized.
This probably sounds like a cream puff question, or maybe it is.
Yes, bring it on.
Yeah. You never know what's inside the cream puff, man.
Uh-oh. I hate custard. It better not be custard-filled.
Are most grants highly competitive?
Yes.
So it's no surprise, and all the cities kind of all know that these things are out there.
Definitely. And that's why I think you'll probably hear from a lot of your guests over the next month here that are just giddy with the amount of money that's come to Humboldt County. You know, you started with grants. We haven't even talked about the two that are new to Fortuna, you know, that we got from the CTC for our Ronaville Road Improvement Project and some money that came in through Safe Routes to School for some other major, you know, sidewalk, curb and gutter enhancements around a school that doesn't have any. For safety and public safety, transportation safety, and for trails, you know, in Humboldt County, I think we got almost $7 million that's coming to this county for trail. I mean, that for a small rural county, basically in the state, when we're competing with, you know, big metropolitan areas, that's a pretty good number. I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, we'll get into those when we come back. KINS News and Information Times 341. We'll return with more from Regan Candelaria.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, you had indicated in the last break that you got you got a couple of nice size funding opportunities that came to the city.
Mm-hmm. We
did. Were they connected at all? Or related?
Somewhat related. You know, they're both transportation projects. We have a big project that the city has been working on for Ronaville Road probably for, I don't know, almost 8 or 10 years in the design.
Forever and would be, yeah.
Yeah. In our time, that is a long time. And we've been working on it, and we're going to do as much of the project as we can. We're trying to get that out. But now with this new funding, basically an injection from the CTC, the California Transportation Commission, we're able to really accelerate that project and probably accomplish twice as much as we were planning to do.
So was it a timing thing?
It was a special request to the CTC through the county, through HCOG, and, you know, they approved it. They thought that it was an important project as well, and they thought maybe we've waited long enough. You know, we went up there, we went to the state, we went to their hearings, and we shared our project and we shared our need, and you know, they listened, I guess. So we're very happy about that. And then one of our Safe Routes to School projects, another $1 million came in to really bolster a Safe Routes to School project in Fortuna. So two big grants that are really going to help us out.
Now, for the general citizen, we hear city budget,
mm-hmm.
county budget. Does this stuff impact the day-to-day at all in the city?
Unfortunately not. No, it's very project specific. It helps our maintenance, you know, deferred maintenance, and it helps our capital improvement program budgets. You know, that's how we were going to do these projects on our own, but at a much smaller scale. But we had designed them to be able to accomplish much more. But of course, we couldn't fund all of that. And now with these new dollars from the state, we're able to complete a project at a much greater, you know, basically twice as much project.
Is that why sometimes you do all the big old studies and the big old projects and either phase them in or identify the critical one and then try to go out and sell it to somebody else? Yeah. Which I guess is kind of what a grant is you're selling it to mm-hmm. some kind of a funding entity.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent strategy, and we've actually seen some success from it. Going back to one of our earlier segments today, we were talking about our Roner Creek project. What we've done with that project and our initial grant is we've done all of the permitting for all four phases, proposed phases of that project. We know we need to do phase one and two to meet our grant guidelines. We know that's going to help us, you know, with the flooding issues that we have, but we have permitted it through all of the environmental documents, all of the initial study and the environmental report, all of the permitting through Fish and Wildlife to do all four phases. So again, we're now ready to go. We've got it all designed out. We know how to do the project. We know what it's going to cost. We've got the permits for it. We've got all of the environmental checklists completed and signed off by
those
agencies. And
if serendipity hits, you're ready.
Yes. And so if we're lucky to get another one of those grants. And guess what? That gives us a lot of points with those grant awarders, you know, the people that are reviewing those, they're going to go, what? They already have their permits? What? They've already gotten their environmental clearance? They've already completed phase one and two of this project?
That puts you further down the road for these guys.
That's what we're hoping.
I was curious when you said that you went to the state and you presented the project. I'm thinking, okay. Mm-hmm. And the guy before you, and the one after you, and the one before them, and the one after the others. And is it just kind of like a, not a circus, but how about a series of audiences in front of the king? Is that kind of how it feels?
It really did. That was the first time I had gone in front of the CTC, but we kept it simple. We just shared our project. We shared who we were and where we were. We shared our history, and that was it. We left it to the board. We went up and made one, you know, utilize the public comment, you know, as a city manager representing Fortuna, to share what we've been doing and what we're trying to accomplish. And then we waited, you know, and a couple of weeks later, they were like, hey, your project is on their list, which was great news just to have made that list.
Shot out of the dark kind of thing?
Pretty much. As the process moved forward, it remained on the list. And they're pretty consistent, I guess, with what they've added to their list within their means. And we turned out getting that additional money for the Ronerville Road project. So, yeah, but there were some other counties that you mentioned. You know, an audience in front of the kid, they brought out props and they were, you know, giving gifts to the board, you know, a basket. You know, here's what our county represents and here's what we do. And I was watching going, I don't know that we're going to ever do that. But we shared our project and then they listened.
And it worked. Very cool stuff. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, no problem.
Love. Go find some sunshine, will you?
I'm going back to Fortuna.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow.